for a moment, and we're going to minister as the Lord directs. Praise God. This is Restoration Sunday. Praise God. Thank you. Now, as we've been fasting and praying throughout the last week and the week before for a couple of days, the Lord has given us a word in due season. Amen. And so we would say it invariably, we would say this invariably, that it's time's up for the devil. Everybody say, time up, devil. God's taking over. Say it with me again. Say, time's up, devil. God's taking over. So our intention and God's provocation to us has been about one question that we want to ask. Are you fed up with things being stolen from you or lost to you or broken and devastated in your life? That's only a couple of you. Three. Are you fed up yet?
Yes.
Are you fed up yet?
Yes.
Amen. I know when a bully in school, when I was a little middle schooler, I think it was at that time, maybe may have been elementary school, but middle school, you know, boy, he was almost my, a little bit taller and bigger, and he was just, you know, picked on everybody, but he picked on me, and, you know, I didn't like it. Anybody like bullies?
No.
Nobody likes bullies, and so so I got fed up with it. So one day on the playground, we run in, and children, I don't recommend you repeat what I did, but I got even. I don't only got mad, I got even, praise God. And I made him hurt pretty bad on the playground that day, praise God. But see, some of us need to be thinking about putting a hurt on the devil. He's been messing with your family. He's been messing with your body. He's been devastating and terrorizing your life, your finances, your situation, your peace. Come on now. Are you fed up yet? See, God wants to do something new in our lives. Now, let's listen to this in Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. We've read it before. We'll say it again. But see, you know, it doesn't come by having heard. You got to repeat it again. Got to look at it again. Got to meditate it again. It says, "From repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was persecuted before you, of all the holy prophets since the world, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration." Everybody say, times of restoration. Of all things which God has spoken before the mouth of his holy prophets before the world began. Now notice there's times of refreshing. Every one of us should be experiencing times of refreshing. In your Christian life and journey, you should go back and note times where God refreshed you. Amen. But then there's times that God restores you. See, this is not a bad deal. This is not a win-lose proposition that you and I are in. God has made this thing complete and whole and beautiful so that we never are at a loss or we're never at a win-lose situation. He says times of restoration. Everybody say it with me, times of restoration. So that means there should be marked times in your life where God got you back and restored you back to not just where you were, but better than where you were. Times of restoration. And so we said it many a times. We've heard it. We talked about it. We said God is a God of restoration. But you have to believe that and receive that for you personally, that God wants to restore you. Amen. He doesn't want to leave you in the ditch of devastation. Amen. He wants to bring you to restoration. Amen? Amen? He is a what? He's a master restorer, and he's a turnaround specialist. And he wants to turn things around for you and me. Amen. He's famous for turning things around. We're going to read a couple of stories that reflect on that. Now listen to this in Joel chapter 2, verse 23 through 27. Again, same scriptures we've been repeating. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. He will cause to come down for you the former rain, the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat. The vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore. Everybody say that with me. I will restore. Who's saying that? God says. God says he will restore. So he is a restorer. To you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, the great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. For he has dealt wonderfully with you. He and my people shall never be put to shame. You shall know that I am the Lord. I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is none other. My people shall never be put to shame. Now we define restore in the regular dictionary, Webster's Merriam-Webster's dictionary. It means to give back, to return, or to put back into evidence or use. And put back in its original state, or to renew. Now, W. Vines defines it as improved, returned back to an improved status or state. It means to compensate or restitute. It means to requite. That means God makes the devil repay. So that means he's going to repay you, restore you, bring you back to better than you were before. Amen. 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 Everybody should be getting excited about that. So God wants to do it to you today. Amen. So I'll read again the prophecies that we sent out, and just so you can hear it again, so because you got to hold on to this word like a dog on a, with a bone. In 2019, this is the one from Mark and Trent Hankins that we were blessed to go to be in a conference with. He said, in 2019, there will come a measure of blessing like you've never seen. Now, think about all the blessings you've seen and the measures of blessings that you've seen. But he said, they're coming this year a measure of blessing that you've never seen. God is taking you from a small place of struggle and shame into a large place of abundance. There are greater doors, anointing, and blessing. The gospel will go around the world. Jesus is your shepherd, and he's leading you to a new place he has prepared, a new place for you to be refreshed. That, remember, times are refreshing. Receive the word, go in the spirit and in prayer, and everything will be enlarged for you. Declare that this is instruction. 2019 is a year of restoration. So let's say that. 2019 is a year of restoration. Say this with me. 2019 is my season and year of restoration. Amen. Amen. See, God is bringing me from a small place. This is what you declare. Say that with me. Say, God is bringing me from a small place of shame and confusion into a wealthy place of abundance and refreshing. 2019 is my year for receiving double for my trouble. Now, how would you act if you received double for your trouble? Amen? Now, listen to what Dr. Jerry Seville says. My word is at work, so be at peace. The works of your adversary are about to cease. He thought he had you, but I've always come through. I'm turning things around just like I said I would do. It's never over until I've had my say, and that's why I'm called the truth and the way. I watch over my word. When you choose to stand, I bring deliverance again and again. So never give up and refuse to give in. It's almost over. You're about to win. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. You're about to win. Hallelujah. See, Satan is out to devastate our lives. Now, what does devastate mean? Just simply defined, it means to destroy or ruin, to overwhelm or overpower. See, whatever you're going through right now is not too big for God to handle. That's only a couple of amens. Whatever you're going through right now is not too big for God to handle. Now, see, if you listen to the doctor, they'll tell you you're going to have this the rest of your life. You're going to do this. It's going to restrict you for the rest of your life. Whatever you're going through right now is not too big for God to handle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter what the situation you are facing, you're not the only person that's ever gone through it. God believes in you, and he thinks you're capable of going through it and coming out victorious. Now, let me tell you something. It's not over because the devil and circumstance say, or other people say, it's over. It's not over until God says it's over. And for you and me as children of God, he doesn't say it's over until you win. I don't care if you have to go to extra innings. I know they just started baseball, but extra innings to get you the victory. But it's not over until God says it's over. Amen. There's nothing too big that God can't handle in your life. I'm trying to get your mind turned up to look at the God of restoration, to look at that God is the God of the impossible, not impossible. Amen. Amen. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. Before I turn there, we talked about a couple of things that God will restore. One of this is the joy of your salvation. Psalms 51:12 tells us that he is to restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. Psalm 51:12. The Passion Translation says, let my passion for life be restored. You know what's going to make you attractive and more attractive to people that don't know Jesus and don't know God? Is when your passion for life has been restored. And when you've tasted the joy of the Lord, and that joy is oozing all over you at work, in your community, out in the front yard, and they're going to say, what's different about you? What's that light on you? What's that glory that's shining through you? See, the joy of Jesus is what you should enjoy every day of your life. Jesus told us, my joy I give to you, and my peace I give to you. But he said, my joy no man takes from you. Now, the devil will try to steal your joy, but joy, Jesus said, my joy nobody can take from you. That means you don't lose it permanently when it's not there, when it's not manifesting. Come on now. That joy can be restored. And the psalmist says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, your salvation, Lord. Come on now, you can get happy just like you were when you first met Jesus. When you first got born again, you get stirred up, fired up, and you'll be on fire for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let my passion for life be restored, tasting joy in every breakthrough you bring me. You taste joy when God does things for you. Hold me close to you with your willing spirit that obeys whatever you say. Isn't that beautiful? And today we're going to emphasize healing restoration because that's what the Lord instructed. Because we need to start aggressively going after everyone receiving restoration of health. Full restoration of health. Amen. So let's look at Jeremiah 30:17. I'm going to just read the first part of that. We call it A. Jeremiah 30:17a, for I will what? Everybody say it with me. Restore. I will what? Restore health to you and heal you of how many wounds? All of your wounds. See, sickness is basically the absence of health. Healing is the restoring of health, wholeness, soundness, nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing hurting. Are you listening to me? Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for restoration of my health and healing of my wounds in Jesus' name. Now, let's look at this verse in Matthew chapter 12, verse 13. I'm going to read out of Passion Translation, so excuse me. I'm reading out of those translations. Then he turned to the man and told him, hold out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored like the other. This was a man with a withered hand. In Mark 8, 25, we see a blind man having his eyesight restored. Jesus put his hands over the man's eyes a second time and made him look up. The man opened his eyes wide open. He could see everything perfectly. How many know having perfect eyesight is being your eyesight being restored? No spots, no clouds, no blood vessels poking through or bleeding out of your eyes. Come on now, no dense eyes, no dark eyes. Come on now, no jaundice eyes. Come on now, praise God, healing of your eyesight. Full restoration of eyesight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And he said his eyesight was completely restored. And the Lord said, go at once to the street called Abundance and look for the man from Tarsus, Saul, and you will find him at Judah's house. While he was praying, he saw a supernatural vision. A man named Ananias coming in, laying on him to restore his sight. Now, let's look at this in James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 in the Amplified. Everybody say restore.
Restore.
Restore. Restore. James chapter 5. And faith is rising. I can sense faith rising in this room. James 5. Is any among you afflicted? I'm sorry. Any among you afflicted, ill-treated, suffering, evil? I'm reading out of Amplified. He should pray. Is anyone glad at heart? He should sing praise to God. Is anyone you sick? He should call in the church, elders, the spiritual guides, and he should pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, that is in faith, will save him who is sick. And the Lord will, what do we do?
Restore.
What will he do?
Restore.
Come on, class. Come on, church. What will he do?
Restore.
The Lord will restore him. The Lord is a restorer. And if he has committed sins, that he will be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, therefore your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored, there it is again, to a spiritual tone of mind and heart.
Hallelujah.
The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its workings. Everybody say restored. So healing is part of God's restoration work. He's the restorer. He's the turnaround specialist. That diagnosis can be turned around because God's a creator. He can create new body parts. He can create replenishment organs. Amen. Replacement organs. Praise God. He can put them in you. Hallelujah. He can take stuff out of you. He can restore you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now let's look at a couple of examples, and we're gonna pray for people. Second Kings 5. Second Kings chapter 5. We see the story of Naaman the Syrian, who also was a leper. Verse 1. Second Kings chapter 5. Verse 1. King James Version. New King James. New King James. Hallelujah. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of King of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of the master because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a manly man of valor, but what? A leper. Now, how many know leprosy, incurable disease? terminal diagnosis. So there's a good man that had his health just devastated. Amen. And remember what the Lord told us. He wants to take us from devastation to restoration. There's nothing too big that God can't handle in your life. There's no big disease that he can't restore and take out of your life and restore your health back to your life. Are you listening to me? So leprosy here was a, at that time, a terminal diagnosis, incurable situation. All right. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. And he waited on Naaman's wife. And then she said to her mistress, if my master were the prophet who was in Samaria, were with the prophet, he would heal him of his leprosy. And look at the little maid's faith. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus, the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. But then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. Now it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God? Am I God to kill and make alive, and that this man sends me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was, when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went to his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in Jordan, how many times? 7 times, and your flesh shall be what? Incurable, terminal, no hope for remedy or relief. But the man of God said, go dip 7 times and your flesh will be what? Restored to you. Now, we read it on Wednesday night. We said it in the text that in 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. So you have to believe not only the word of God, but a word from God that comes through a man or woman of God. And the word from God that has come through the man and woman of God has been, this is our time of restoration. Restoration is not going to happen in December 2019. Restoration is now. Now is the time. Now that God wants to do a new thing to your life, in your life. Amen? It's now. Everybody say now. Restore now. He said, restore you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious, got mad, and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, I surely come out of surely at least come out and talk to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord as God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not Abana and Parfar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away in a rage. So he's hot. Because, sometimes we got to come out ourselves thinking that this is the way it's going to happen. And his servants came near and spoke to him, saying, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, you would have done it. How much more then, he says to you, wash and be clean. So he went down, he humbled himself, cooled off, and dipped 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was what? Like a flesh of a little child. And he was clean. I believe and I declare all skin issues and rashes and burning of the skin and discoloration will be restored in this place this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for restoring. Now, flesh is just not skin. this, the whole disease that causes that skin, the issue, going to come out. Amen? Somebody said glory to God. Now let's look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, one in the New Testament. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogues came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her, and she may be healed. That she may be healed, and she will live." Now, this, he's requesting in faith. I mean, no, when we say, "Restore us, Lord," we are requesting in faith. Amen. Because God is a restorer. Where our faith is not only in his promise, but in the promiser, faith in God. Now, when she went with him and had great multitude follow him and throng him, now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, we know this is women with the issue of blood, and had suffered many things from many physicians. So now she's losing money and she's losing her health. Had spent all that she had and was nothing but no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may be touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, this word plague in verse 29 is a Greek word that means continuous and reoccurring. This is like if you have migraine headaches. They come occasionally, but they always return. Or you have flare-ups, let's say, of your joints and your bones that burn or ache in pain. They continually come. It's like a reoccurring situation that continually torments you. The picture of this was when they used to beat the prisoners. And when they beat the prisoners, they tied them up on a rope in what they call it the torture system back then, in the Roman torture system. I'm trying to describe this word plague. And this word plague is a picture of a Roman specialized, trained soldier, torture specialist, torment specialist, who would come in and beat you almost to death. I mean, beat you to the point of death, let you heal up, almost heal up. And by the time you get almost healed, they come back at you and beat you almost down to death again. This is what this word plague was. And sometimes the symptoms and conditions of our body plague us over and over again. Every time we turn around, that thing is nagging. That thing is bothering. That thing is hindering. That thing is hurting. But she was made healed of that plague. Then Jesus immediately knowing in her that power. Everybody say power. That's what's going out today. Healing power, delivering power, restoration power has gone out of him, and turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But the disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around her to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." See, your faith has to stand up and say, "Devil, your time's up." Remember, we have to deal with the devil. Sickness, remember we said it. Sin, Satan, sorrow, amen, shame, they're all synonymous. So you have to tell the devil those five things. Your time's up. God's taking over. God's word's taking over my body. God's power's taking over my body. Amen. Somebody said glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, while she was still speaking, some came from the rulers of the synagogue's house. This is a little girl, back to that little girl again, who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Everybody say, "Do not be afraid, only believe." See, some people are a little edgy when it comes to, well, will God really take care of this? Yes. He wants to. But he permitted him no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, "Why make you this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And so this girl was restored back to them. Look at this verse. And they ridiculed him, but he had put them all outside. And he took the father and mother and the child and those who were with him. And he entered in where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say unto you, arise." She was restored to life. Immediately the girl arose. For she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with amazement. Somebody said, "Glory to God." Now, I want you to think about three things as we get ready to minister to those that are hurting or sick or need restored. There's going to be a restoration anointing specifically addressing these areas. But the woman with the issue of blood didn't stay at home because her issue of blood by law was to keep her limited, and she was to be quarantined. She was not supposed to go in public. So she risked her life. See, faith takes a risk to believe and dares to believe God. Faith takes a risk and dares to believe God in the face of contradictory circumstances, in the face of sense contradiction. Your faith has to dare to believe God is a God who is a God of restoration. Your faith dares to believe that there is power that's present today to heal me. The power of the Lord is present. Now, some people want to feel it first, and they don't want to faith it first. But your faith has to precede your feelings. Your feelings have nothing to do with it. Are you listening to me? So you have to dare to believe that, "God, this is my day of being restored in my health. This is my starting point of receiving the power to restore my life back to wholeness and health again." Amen. So faith dares to believe God. Secondly, the Bible says she said. The Amplified says she kept on saying. And we've often said your faith has to be voice activated, but it has to continue to say. You have to maintain your confession of faith. So her faith moved her mouth, which enabled her to move her feet and her body and make her way through the press to get to Jesus. Now, here's the big statement. What you rehearse becomes your reality. Now, when it comes to physical sickness and disease, if you're constantly talking about your pain, you constantly talking about the sting of that's in your skin or in your bones and in your body, come on now, what you rehearse becomes your reality. So you can cut the power off by the power of your words that are negative and wrong and contradictory to God's word and God's work in your life. So if you get prayed for and the power goes into you, you can squander or you can thwart the power of God or short circuit it just by you talking out of the side of your neck. Y'all understand what I'm saying by that, right? But you talk outside of your neck and try to feel to believe instead of faith receive. Do you listen to me? Instead of feel to believe, to feel and see if it's better. No, you have to by faith receive, believe and receive it's better, and say according to the word of God, "I'm being restored right now. I'm recovering right now in Jesus' name." Somebody say, "Glory to God." Now, the third thing I want you to realize, because Jesus turned around to the ruler of the synagogue in this passage. We get a lot of good nuggets, but I just want to give you these three, and then we're going to pray. Signs, symptoms, and struggles have a purpose to lead you out of faith and into fear. Now, why do you have symptoms in your body? Those of you that may perhaps have had those here recently. Why do you have them? Its purpose is to take you away from God's plan and purpose of faith into fear. signs that they come back. Master, don't bother the master any further. Your child is dead. That's a sign. That's also a struggle because now fear comes in. And we know when fear comes in, faith goes out. When fear starts, faith stops. When fear is tolerated, your faith gets contaminated. Are you listening to me? So signs, symptoms, and struggles all have a purpose from the enemy of your soul to get you into fear. And you get like Job, and you say, that which I greatly feared has come upon me. And that situation doesn't get better. He keeps you in devastation, not in and doesn't allow you or permit you to go into restoration because your faith is put on hold and you put fear active. Are you listening to me? And so when you receive the anointing and the power of God, you know, we heard a term. I like the term. We heard a term the last couple of days because we were with just watching Miracles on the Mountain in Fort Worth, Eagle Mountain. And they used the term, when he has a break in a cycle. And sometimes, perhaps, when the anointing hits you the first time, that cycle is broken of pain. But that's where you grab a hold of it with your faith and don't let it go and say, I've got the power and the power is working in me and mightily. I mean, they had testimonies. Listen to me. Testimonies of a person that their kidneys were lined up in the wrong side. They'd be missing the other side, that both of them were kind of messed up at birth where they were all jammed up together. The power went in that person. They said the next day they wrote a letter. And they went to the doctor that next week, and the doctor wrote a letter, said that their kidney, their right kidney, moved from the left side over to the right side in the right place. There's nothing too big or difficult for God to handle. Are you listening to me? There's nothing too big or difficult for God to handle. One lady had lumps on her back and with rods from her spine from accidents and car injuries and spinal issues and stuff like that. God took the rods out, took the lumps down. Hernias were healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody said glory to God. Cancer was set free from people. I mean, people completely delivered from cancer. There's nothing too difficult for the Lord. There's nothing too hard for God. Are you ready to receive today? Everybody say, I believe I receive the healing power, the restoring power of God in my life. In Jesus' name, all to the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, that my health is being restored. My strength is being renewed. My joy is being restored. Thank you, Father, for the restoration power of God, the healing power of God, working mightily in my spirit, affecting a healing, bringing a cure, and undoing every disease, every sickness, every symptom, every pain, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Now let's stand. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Are you ready? Oh, my goodness. Are you ready to receive? Now get your expector up. Everybody say, I expect. When I'm prayed for, when hands are laid upon me, the healing power of God, the restoring power of God will flow into my spirit and affect a healing and bring a cure to my body from head to toe, from anything and everything that's wrong with my body. God is restoring my health right now, this day. I believe it. I receive it, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now just lift your hands and thank God. Tristan, if you would, please.